Welcome to Lakeside Church's Message Podcast.
Our prayer is that you fall in love with Jesus,
find a church family,
live in freedom,
and be active in your purpose.
Let's join the message already in progress.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Lakeside Church. We are so glad that you're here, and we're in week three of a four-part series where we are looking at the Holy Spirit and kind of looking at what he does. We've kind of said that he kind of does three main things. I mean, he does a lot, and there's more than it's encompassed in what we're going to say, but the Holy Spirit reaches the world. We preach the message on how Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so we believe that the Holy Spirit was poured out and that he's convicting people. He's reaching people even right now as we speak. So if you have maybe a son or a daughter that is far away from the Lord, for a long time I was far away from God. And my mom was praying for me. I believe those prayers worked, but I also believe the Holy Spirit was convicting me. And convict means convince, not like convicting me about throw me in jail, but convincing me of the reality of God's love for me, what my sin was, how I need to deal with it, and how judgment was coming, and that I needed to get right with God. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit changes and teaches God's people. The Holy Spirit is that which kind of goes in there and teaches you something and works in you and makes you kind of understand the scriptures, understand who God is, but also changes you. We're going to spend a lot of time on that today. And then next week, we're going to talk about the third thing, which is the Holy Spirit empowers God's people to reach others. But let's start on that second thing about, we're going to talk a lot about today about how the Holy Spirit changes and he teaches God's people. And so we're going to go to the book of John, and this is Jesus talking. He's in the middle of a great feast, the Feast of Sukkot. It was a seven-day feast. Sometimes they added an eighth day, but it was a big deal, one of the most joyous and festive feasts that they had. And in verse 37 of John chapter 7, it's on the screen, it's in your insert, you can turn there. And I mean, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out. So picture this as I climb up on this chair. Jesus just stood up in the middle of the crowd and he let it go as loud as he could say it. He said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, that's verse 39, with whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Holy Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, I believe we have to understand the full gospel in its sense. The gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he took our place. He died a death we didn't deserve so we could get a reward that we don't reserve. That we don't deserve. That as his sin, as his blood was poured out, it covered our sin. That's what it needed. And then we believe he was put in a tomb and he was buried. And that 3 days later, he rose again. That the Spirit of God, it says, came into him and gave life to his body, and that he was physically resurrected. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus just didn't stop as a resurrected man. He's not walking around this world today showing off his hands and his scars. In fact, it says that later on, he ascended in the book of Acts, chapter 1, and we read, he ascended to heaven in the clouds, and that he is at the right hand of the Father, that he's at God's right hand. And it says, and he poured out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And in Acts chapter 2, we read that he told them not to go anywhere, and they wait, and the Spirit is poured out on the church. Not just on those few guys, not 120 in the room, upper room, but it was poured out in the church. But in this scripture, at a book of John, we can get a few things. Point number one, and you can fill this in, look on the screen, is the Spirit is for the thirsty. If you are thirsty, And in a spiritual sense, in a very divine sense, if you are looking for something more than this life has to offer and you thirst, God promised to give the Spirit to you. It's for us thirsty, broken people. Point number two, it says the Spirit comes from Jesus. And I just talked to you about how after he died and was buried and resurrected, that he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And part of what he wanted to do was pour out the Holy Spirit. It connects us to Jesus. It is what Jesus wanted to do. In fact, the Spirit testifies about Jesus, leads us back to understand more about Jesus. And that's really what the Holy Spirit does, to teach us more, to show us more, to change us so we can become more like Jesus, and to help us share Jesus. It is all about Jesus. Don't separate the two. Sometimes we don't talk about the Spirit, but we should, because it's part of what Jesus wanted to do. In fact, Jesus stood up and said, he cried out in that feast, "If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me, and out of his belly," or out of his innermost beings, out of his heart, "will flow rivers of living water." Like, that should be us. Picture us in this dry and broken world, that each believer should have a river of living water. Not a sprinkle, not a tinkle, and not just a drip drop, but a river of living water. Does that describe you? Does it describe me? I'm pointing a finger at myself as well. Is there a river of life? Of life-giving water coming out of me? We all know the desert is dry and it's broken, but if you find a river running through it, all of a sudden then there's grass and there's trees and there's plants, and the plants bring the bugs and the animals and the birds, and life comes. Water brings life. God's Spirit brings life. And it should not just happen in us, but it should happen through us. That whether it's at our work or in our families or wherever we go, like, that we have rivers of living water just pouring out of us. That's what a God person should be. And when I say God person, I mean somebody who believes in Jesus and has confessed him as their Lord and has given their life to him and follows him, that everywhere we should go, at all times, we should be carrying this river of living water. And people should see it, and people the thirsty that are around us should be able to drink from it, because it's coming from Jesus and hopefully pointing them back to Jesus. The third thing I want to point out is that the Spirit is received by faith or belief. Like, that's it. That's all that it takes, is us for to believe in Jesus, to trust in him. And then the Spirit is given to us by Jesus. We don't have to earn it. We just have to trust him. And then the fourth thing is that the Spirit creates a life-giving flow from within the believer's heart. There should be a constant flow, a constant regeneration and renewal of our hearts and our minds and our wills and everything that we do. You know, the other day, my kids and I, we were driving by a river that was coming kind of out of the side of a hill or a mountain, and it brings life. And it was funny, as we drove by that river, there were all these old houses and all these old barns, and you could tell these houses had been around for maybe even 100 or more years. And it's because, you know what, if you were going and you were looking for a place to live as you were settling this land, you would park by water. And it wouldn't be stagnant, nasty, stinky pond water. You choose a river. Because if that river was flowing, you know that the water was hopefully clean and it was drinkable, and it brought you life, and there would be animals around that you could hunt, and you could use that water for your crops, and that's really what we should be. We should be life-giving people filled with this Spirit so that it flows out of us. But it's from the believer's heart, because the Holy Spirit is received by faith. And we're going to talk about this, all right? We can turn to the book of Galatians, if you would, and we're going to read in there. And in verse 3, and it's on your papers on the screen. It's, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Now, Galatia was an area where a lot of churches had been started by Paul, and he's writing a letter back to them. And how would you like, I mean, it'd be cool if you were in the Bible, but look at that, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Imagine if it said, "Oh, you dummies in Lexington." Like, they had made a mistake. They were adding something to the gospel. They were adding this obedience to the law, because a little background here is Paul had gone and preached a good news about Jesus, and people had come in behind him and added to it, and you can never add anything to Jesus because it's just Jesus. But he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Paul had preached the gospel that Jesus had died for them, and that his blood had covered their sins, and that he was buried and resurrected and taken up into heaven. But in verse 2, he says, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Think about that. They had received it by faith. And then now they're trying to be perfect because of the law. And look at verse 3. It says, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, that you are now being perfected by the flesh?" By the flesh. So another point is, you don't receive the Spirit by obeying the law. You don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be perfect. It's scandalous. It's crazy to say that God would pour out his Spirit on imperfect people, but that's what he does, because that's what he chose to do. We got to understand the grace of God and the mercy of God. The other thing is, you don't receive him by trying harder. Man, I'm one of those people, I want to try harder. I want to do better. I want to get as right as I can, and sometimes I have to realize, Chris, you're never going to be good enough. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't try, and that I don't try to submit to the Spirit and allow God's word to change me and grow closer to Christ and grow up and mature in him. But the fact of the matter is number one, you don't receive him by obeying the law. And number two, you don't receive him by trying harder. There's nothing you can do that you can earn God's Spirit. And we have to remember that, because it's easy to be just like the Galatians and bewitched and think that we have to do X, Y, and Z, or that God will take his Spirit from us. And his Spirit is a gift. Now, we can grieve the Spirit, and that's in other places, but we don't receive it by the law, and we don't receive it by trying harder. And what I want to tell you this is you don't have, and this is another point you can write in your paper, you don't have a sin or an effort issue, you have a faith issue. You have, and I do too, is because I have to constantly remind myself that I trust in Jesus to save me. Chris cannot save himself. Only Jesus saves. Chris cannot change himself. Only the Spirit of Jesus changes me. And I don't receive it by being perfect, and I don't receive it by trying harder. I receive it by having faith in him and in his word and who he said he was. And that's different. And I just want to throw this in there. I mean, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about a river of living water, you know, flowing through us, and that where we go, we are these drastically changed people that are life-giving, and that people around us that are thirsty, they sense his presence in our lives, and they feel his presence when they're near us because he lives within us, and we speak words of life because our hearts, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, our hearts are filled with the Spirit, and therefore our words are filled with the Spirit, and our minds are being renewed. And I just want to tell you this, the Holy Spirit does not make me, and you have to hear this, the Holy Spirit does not make me better than you. The Holy Spirit makes me better than me. It changes me, and it transforms me, and it renews me into who God wants me to be. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of Jesus. Back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Did you suffer so many things in vain,
if indeed it was in vain. Verse 5, does he who supplies or who gives the Holy Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Paul is laying it out there. It's not about what we do and how perfect we are and the law, the Old Testament law is what he's referring to. There's a lot of laws in there that we're just not following. But by faith in Christ, we can receive the Spirit. Verse 6 says, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was counted as righteous before the law was even given. Because Abraham came a long time before the law was written. But it was his faith in God. And Abraham was not perfect. He made a lot of mistakes, just like you and me, or actually way less than me. But he still made mistakes. He still wasn't perfect. But it was his faith that justified him. And so the point that I want to give you is you receive him, that's the Spirit, by trusting in the life-giving power of the Spirit to work in and among you by faith. Man, this should take some weight off your shoulders. Because it's not about what you do. It's about what he did. It's about what he did. And we have to remember that and rejoice in that and trust in that. Now, I know we're going over a lot of Bible today, but we believe the Bible in this church. And there are a lot of scriptures I'm covering. And so if you don't like me reading a lot of scriptures, I'm sorry. But that's what we're going to do here is we're going to read the scriptures and we're going to dig into it. Because I believe in the scriptures, they point to Jesus. And Jesus gives us life. So if you don't like it, you may have to find another church. Now, I don't mean that bad, huh? But honestly, and I'll drive you there. If you need another one, I'll drive you there. There's a lot of other churches out there. But we believe the scriptures, so I'm not ashamed to read them and to talk about what they say. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, it says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Now, let me tell you this. It is fun to let the Holy Spirit guide your life. And if you do that, the scripture says you won't do what the sinful nature wants. Now, I gotta confess something to you. I have been struggling with this desire to share my faith. Like it is my responsibility to share my faith with unbelievers just like it's yours. And I'm caught up with work and I'm caught up with my kids and I'm caught up with this church. And it's not that I don't love all of you and I love my family and I love my job. But here's the point is like, I want to share the gospel. So I drive to and from work from downtown Columbia and I work all day and then I come home and we do things with the kids. And I'm like, God, how am I going to do this? Like, I want to share my faith, but I just don't have the time. And I was praying about it and I was asking God, saying, God, please, I just want an opportunity to share Christ. And I felt like God put it in my heart that there I was going to be able to share Christ with a young lady that was in a bad relationship. And like that was the person he wanted me to talk to. And so like I've been looking for it and I just kept my eyes open and I'm in line at the store or wherever I am. And I didn't see this. So for about 2 weeks, I didn't. And for whatever reason, the other day I was taking a Lyft. All right. Now Lyft is cheaper. It's like Uber, but cheaper. And I was taking a Lyft. And as I'm riding and there's this young girl driving, and as we're driving to the destination, we're going to this church, and all of a sudden she opens up, and I don't know how it happened because, you know, I don't know, but all of a sudden she starts talking about this relationship she's in and how bad it is and how she's struggling. And I remember all of a sudden just stopping her and I said, look, I just have to tell you this. I've been looking for 2 weeks for you. For a girl who was in a relationship, and God wants you to know he loves you, and you'll be okay, but just Christ died for you. And I got to pray with her. And as I prayed with her, you know, she didn't know where she was going really. She was just following the GPS wherever it told her. We turned into the church parking lot. And she said, this is the church I go to.
and she got teary-eyed. But it wasn't, she hadn't been there since this relationship started. But it was like a divine encounter, a divine appointment. Got to pray for some other people too. There was another guy, I took a lift, and there was this other guy, and he's like, I prayed with him, and he's like, thank you, I just got out of the mental hospital. And I was like, well, praise God. I don't know how lift's background checks work, but that's okay, praise God. Got to pray with him, it was all right. Got to pray for another guy who his family was in England, and he was over here in the States, and his mom and dad were sick, and I had all these divine encounters. I mean, it was such a powerful thing, but when the Holy Spirit guides your life, it's fun. But I want you to see something here. It says, you won't do what your sinful nature craves, verse 6, because the sinful nature wants to do evil, and that's just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Now, let me ask you a question. It's not a quote. Trick question. Whose spirit is it? You can answer. That's God's. God's spirit. It's God's spirit. Now here, whose sinful nature is it? It's ours. Now here's the question. Who's stronger? God or you? It's easy. Like if the Spirit of God is wrestling with your sinful nature, he wins. He always does because he's God. The problem is we don't let him wrestle with it. We don't give him the opportunity. But when we do, things are good. And that's the point I want to make, is he gives us victory over our dead sinful nature by his life-giving power, because you believe in him, the scripture says, and this river of living water will flow from the inside, and he'll bring the dead parts in you to life, and he'll change you, and he'll renew you, and he'll make you different when you walk in him, and when you let him guide you. It is for every believer to have this life-giving presence in their life. It's not for special people. It's for people who believe. Let's go on a little bit farther. Let's read a little bit more. Galatians chapter 5, it says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. When the Holy Spirit is in us and this life-giving river is flowing, this is what happens in verse 22. You'll be full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. If that's the person you are, you will fulfill the law. If you're a loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, and faithful person, you will meet every requirement of the law, because the Holy Spirit will transform you from the inside out. But those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Jesus in John, he said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. And the only connection we have with Jesus right now, until he returns, is by his Spirit. And let me tell you, that's good enough. His Spirit is good enough for right now. And I'm not saying, well, it's good enough. I'm saying, like, it's good enough. It's exactly what we need. Like, he left and he said, it's better that I go away and send the Spirit to you than that I stay here. It's good enough. It'll do what he says it'll do. It'll bring life where life needs to be brought. It'll change us. And so how do you, remember, we don't have an effort issue. It's not because you're not trying hard enough. It's not because you've sinned, because it's by grace through faith that we're saved. It's a faith issue. So how do you build up your faith? Well, I think Paul talks about it in Book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, don't act thoughtlessly. So even though we're talking about the Spirit, this thing we can't really put our hands on, can't really touch with our physical hands, don't act thoughtlessly. In other words, don't be a dummy. Think about this. But understand what God wants you to do. Verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, anybody else know any alcoholics? All right, no judgment here. I come from good stock. I have alcoholics on both sides of my family tree. Alcoholism that has destroyed lives, lost fortunes, and just broken people. Alcoholism is a terrible thing and could have been me because I got it on both sides. But I want you to see, he compares being filled with the Spirit with being drunk with wine. And I know a little bit about alcoholics because I've seen them. Anybody seen like really good alcoholics in your family? Like they are committed to being an alcoholic? An alcoholic always knows where his next drink is coming from. Like, I got him in my family, like, wake up at 7 a.m. and drink vodka straight from the bottle. Gross. Like, not even mix it with anything. But they always know where their next drink is coming from. And they build their day about where that next drink is going to come from. And if they don't get that next drink, a lot of times, the ones that I know at least, they get physically sick and start to shake and feel terrible. Is that how we treat the Spirit? Do you know when the next time you're going to plug in and get recharged by the Spirit of God is? Do you know, do you plan your day around, well, when am I going to find my God time? When am I going to press into God's Spirit? How am I going to carry this to work? How am I going to do this, even if I know you don't want anybody else to know sometimes? Be filled with the Spirit. Now, that's an active word. It's a word that means like constantly filled. And I would say the point that I want you to write down, it's on the screen, is be constantly filled because we all leak. Just like the alcoholic will sober up and have to drink some more, no matter how much of God's presence you have in your life, you're a leaky vessel and live in a broken world and you'll leak. So be constantly filled, constantly coming to the Father, constantly asking God for his presence, constantly seeking the Spirit of God to fill your life and to overflow. And Paul gives us some hints on how to do that, and we can read it, and just if we just keep reading the verse. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he talks about singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music in your hearts to the Lord. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's a lot of things in there. Here's some faith builders. Number one, sing spiritual songs. Do you know that when you sing a spiritual song, it encourages your heart? You know music moves you. You can hear a song right now and it puts you back into high school. Because it's a song that always played in high school. Or put you back in a relationship, or put you back at a special moment or a bad moment in your life, because music moves you. And you should have God songs in your heart. What kind of songs are you singing? Make music in your heart. Now, you know what? I'm not a music guy. I'm not a musician. I can play a few chords on the guitar, a few things on the piano. Like I can tinker, but I'm not a musician. But I'll tell you something, when I have a song, the song of the Lord in my heart, I feel closer to God. Because what happens is you start singing about the good things God does and the good he is and who he is, and your faith gets built. The other thing is give thanks for everything. Like say thank you, like just be grateful. And you know what, when you're grateful and you recognize the blessings that God has brought into your life, all of a sudden, your faith is built. Sing spiritual songs. Make music in your heart. That's good if you suck at singing like me. Then you just have to make it in your heart and just sing a song and rejoice in the Lord. But then give thanks for everything. Be grateful. Like as bad as you got it, I'm sure out of the 7 billion people, somebody has it worse. You don't have it the worse. There's somebody in some pretty horrible situation right now. So find something to give thanks for and be grateful. And I think that builds your faith. And as your faith is built, those who believe have the river of living water. The last thing is be part of a church family. Talk about submit to one another. Be part of a church family or a spiritual community. Because there's sometimes that your faith is low, but the other person's is high, and their river can splash on you. And they can build you up. And they can encourage you. These two people in the front row texting right here. You see that? My wife, and my brother-in-law, you're texting. All right, I don't know what the text is. Busted. But I'm sure it's funny, and I'll read it later. But the point is that these are my people. We've been ministering together and serving God together for years. And there's been times that each of us have been low, but together we're part of a church family. And we brought that here and we started this church in Lexington. We moved here. We didn't know anybody, but we brought that here and we brought that to Missouri and we brought that to kids down in Miami in apartment complexes. So for 20 years, we've been a spiritual community that encourages and blesses each other and lifts each other up. And so if you could do these things, then your faith would get better. But you know, if there's some of you guys here and it's okay, you're feeling dry. Maybe you've never experienced a life-giving flow of the Spirit. Maybe you have, but it's leaked out, and that's okay. Or maybe you can't honestly say that you are a river of living water that brings life everywhere you go, and that's okay. I don't want to judge you, but I'll tell you something. If you're not perfect, either am I. Don't think those things in the lift happened because I'm spiritual, because it was not by faith that I received the Holy Spirit or that He does miracles among me. It's not by faith. I'm sorry, it's not by works. It's not by works. It is by faith. You think I'm the most perfect person in the world? Just ask my wife. I'm not. I blow it all the time. But God is good and I trust Him. You think it's because I deserve it that God does stuff like that? No. I think it's because He's good. It might have something to do with me asking Him in faith and just wanting to share my faith and asking Him to give me the opportunity. But it was by faith, not because I'm good enough. And so if you don't feel like you're good enough today, either do I. But God is good enough, and He loves us more than we deserve. Would you just bow your head just for a minute? If you're feeling dry, if you're feeling broken, if you're feeling like it's all leaked out, or maybe you've never had that encounter with Jesus and you need His life-giving power in your life, would you just raise your hand? Amen. Amen. I'm going to say a prayer for you. And then I want you to pray after me. God, bless these people. Pour out your Spirit on the thirsty. Not because I'm asking you as much as because that's what you said you would do in your word. Those who believe in you in here, fill them, overflow them. Let your presence overwhelm them, God. And help them to be life-giving wherever they go. And I pray this now, God, in the name of Jesus. And I trust in you to hear my prayer because you're good. Now, if you want to put your hand up and put a little something on you because it's your life and your heart. So with your mouth, just pray to God. It doesn't have to be loud. Nobody else even needs to hear it but Him. But tell Him you're thirsty. Tell Him you need more of Him in your life. The band's going to play in a minute. And as the band plays some music, just use that as your prayer time to ask Him for more. To ask Him to fill you.
Hey guys, I'm Bob.